Well, good morning, good afternoon, whatever it is. This is July 10th, 2017. We are going to continue with part two. But just for the record, I just want you to know that the UV is very high. The pollen count is medium. Our humidity is 48%, and the temperature is 80, but it feels like 81, the heat index. This time of year, we have heat indexes instead of wind chill, I suppose. Wind from the south at 7 miles an hour, it's kind of nice out, and the nearest lightning strike was 456 miles away a few minutes ago, so we are doing fine today. And I say that because when I listen to this again sometime in January or something, I'm going to think, oh, I remember those warm days. Well, let's get more into this death and dying subject here, part two. And as I got into this, as I often did, most of you realize that, remember those days, I'm just quickly realizing that this is going to be another one of my surprise series. We're going to have to go beyond part two. Not sure, probably not much more, but a lot of material dealing with death and dying. So we're just going to, maybe I just talk too much about this stuff, but I'll tell you, as I was talking on the phone yesterday with a couple of folks, you know, you just enjoy talking about this, and you don't get many opportunities to do that. And I know that when somebody opens a door a crack for me to talk about something, I just can't quit. It's just exciting stuff, you know. My four-hour answer to a music question is my record, though. When somebody asked me that question back in Washington, what do I think the Bible says about music? And 4 hours later, I stopped talking. So, never saw him again, but oh well. Anyway, that's just me. So, part one, we looked at some details of the death and dying and how difficult, if not even impossible, to talk to people today about this subject. You know, about any subject in the Bible as far as that goes. Any subject to do with God at all, just anything. They're just not interested, even those that say they're Christians. While everybody seems to have their own ideas, right? They got their own beliefs, their own conclusions, and they fall back on those ideas and thoughts of theirs when the time arrives for that dying and the death thing that pops up. And what is most surprising, though, as we deal with this stuff in the world, you know, it's most surprising to me and irritating are those Bible-believing pastors, how they have added their confusion by pushing this Great Commission. You've heard me talk about that many, many times. Modern Bibles, evangelical false teachings from their modern Bible, of course, you know. And even those King James guys have misused and falsely divided, so profane and vain babbled, about death and dying, and they're wrong in so many ways. You know, for those funeral homes, though, dying is nothing but a business. And it's just one more place, though, for a pastor to get up there and put forth that false doctrine to those people that are sitting out there that are upset, they're missing their friend and their family, their dad or whatever, and those pastors get up there and in the shackles of the love they are under, which I will talk about that in another sermon, by the way, with this love of God that they talk about, they just put forth another false message to these people that are sitting there. Oh, it just stirs me up here. And then when the time arrives for some of these other people, or in their past, they've had a loved one or somebody that they've really cared about, you know, die, and then we come along and we teach them about the risen Savior, we teach them about the King James Bible, if they even give us that opportunity, and they have to realize and accept the strong possibility that the one that they loved and cared for, dad, mom, kids, you know, whatever, kids is a different situation, but any of their friends, whatever, they have to realize that they just might not be in heaven like they said they were going to be. And they're not going to accept that. They're not going to be willing to go that route. So they just choose to ignore Paul. They choose to ignore the King James Bible. And, of course, they choose to ignore Paul's son. And, of course, they choose to ignore you. And what they're doing is they're just rejecting the very teachings of the Savior that they say died and rose again. It just boggles my mind, even though we understand, you know. So today, this part of it, part two, we're going to look at this soul-winning thing just a little bit. And I call it soul-winning, a Bible believer's false notion. They're the ones that tend to really get into it, you know. it's a serious subject, death and dying. It's, you know, it's got to be the most serious subject out there, because when you die, this little vapor of life here is over with. You've got an eternity coming up. That's why Paul says you departed. You didn't die. You actually departed. And then there's a second death coming, which you will then also depart to the second state. It's a serious subject, no doubt about it. And I remember when I was taught this stuff in my early years, when I was thinking I was a Christian. But I'll tell you, the biggest pressure I got from my pastors, was go out there and knock on doors, get on the street corner, and preach to people about what you just learned about salvation. And you and I both know that all they ever talk about in church was salvation, constantly. Boy, I was sitting there thinking, what, do you think we're all lost in here or what? That's all they ever talk about. So, but it is a serious subject, and we do want to see other people get saved. We do want them to learn about Paul. We do want them to learn about King James Bible, rightly dividing, et cetera, et cetera. But what we need to realize, or these people need to realize, that soul winning is in these churches, it's the most important thing. It's about the only thing they do other than potlucks, and it has a huge overemphasis. That's not what Paul talks about. So this overemphasis is so bad. All that really matters in those churches, and I know you folks know this, I probably don't have to tell you this, but this is just what I'm talking about today. The number of souls saved is all that seems to matter. You know, how many notches do they have in their spiritual guns, you know? The second thing is a false gospel is preached to those people, whether it be an after-sermon invitation or in a street corner someplace, in a public place somewhere, either through their guilt or their threatening of the severity of God in their lives, either now or in the future, which is true as far as the future goes, but not true today. And then third, soul winning becomes more important than soul feeding and soul growing. That's what I talk about in churches. Visitation nights, you know, the whole thing. So when it comes to soul winning, here's some things I just want you to remember. I want you to consider these things. Number one, Paul doesn't talk about getting out there into the public and getting into people's faces and yelling at them and telling them all the things that the public preachers want you to preach. That is Old Testament, that is Gospels, and that will be in tribulation. You know, I would just love to go to the steps of these churches. I would love to stand outside there during a funeral and just, like Jeremiah on the, you know, steps of the temple or whatever, and just preach away. When those pastors are walking in the building with a casket and the family behind them, and they got their little triangle hands perched finger to fingers, you know, a little triangle thing there, you know, or whatever that would be, TP, whatever. And they walk in there and they just continue to lie to the people from Scripture. They don't even use Scriptures. Deceiving and being deceived. Deceived and being deceived, just like the rest of his congregation. And you know what? According to Romans chapter 2, God will hold them accountable someday. Not me. That's not my job. So I don't go to the steps in front of these churches. I don't go to the temples as such and spout my mouth. If I don't go down to the corner, I've done it, been there, even got some results, supposedly, positive results, tons of negative results. And I think the street preacher crowd, the soul-winning bunch, love those negative results because that means they're doing right. They're saying the right thing if people get mad at them. And they go out there and they try to insult the people. They get in their face and they do their thing. And Paul doesn't go that route, and he doesn't tell us to go that route. So is it any wonder why these people don't and won't get this stuff? And also, why these pastors that get away with this stuff, you can see why they don't, won't, and can't preach the gospel of Paul. Boy, am I stumbling all of a sudden here. But it's true, and I got that tract out there that talks about why pastors can't, don't, and won't preach Paul. But Paul doesn't tell us to go that route. Okay, so number two, consider this, though. Paul did dispute in the marketplace. But see, in those cases, he's talking with the people. Disputing, you know this, always comes about, just about always comes about when you're talking about the risen Savior or Paul or King James Bible, rightly dividing. It's just like there's always going to be disputing. But disputing is what Paul did. And so we get our opportunities, we can dispute. We can, but you see, we're talking with the people. We're not talking at the people. Then you get to those point three here. It seems that even newly saved, if they're saved, and I personally, I don't think they are as such, but who am I to call? We'll talk about that if I ever get to the whole point of this whole sermon series here. Even these newly saved people are encouraged to go right back out and tell people that they are going to hell now and they need to be saved just like he or she was, is whatever. So let's assume that this person is saved. Like I say, I don't believe most of them are, but they got a religion, but religion is not salvation. Okay, anyway, let's assume that this person is saved. And according to them, they're teaching about being born again. Well, this guy is just a baby, you know, being born again. See, now he's at the baby stage of his Christianity. But the pastors, who seldom talk about anything else in their sermons except being saved, you know, never feed these people. They hear the verses on salvation, the Romans road, that stuff, and they get them back out there. So this new Christian just goes out and tries to make another baby. And really, it's all similar to a dad, to a father, whatever, actually just to a dad, who makes babies but never feeds them. Never there for them as they grow up. Never there to love and nurture, which Paul talks about. Someday we'll talk about that. And comfort. I could bunny trail that thing real easily right now. But let's not. Let's try to be good about these bunny trails today. So these babies that this guy supposedly makes out on the street, these kids, these babies, will eventually die or just go rotten and go worldly. That's what happened. Anybody can make a baby, but being a true father, boy, there's much more involved in that. It takes time. It takes effort, nurturing, comforting, da-da-da-da. But just keep in mind, I really personally don't believe that those people, if they're going to claim this born-again stuff, I don't believe that they're a baby Christ, a baby Christian. I don't believe they're saved. I think they just got religion, and they just go out there and make more people with baby religion, and nobody's really got the risen Savior. They just got that Bible, Baptistic religion, whatever. And I suppose that's an issue to some folks. Number four here, things to consider about this soul-winning thing. Who wants to listen to that stuff any more than someone wanting to hear the talk about Jesus coming to America? Here's what they're thinking. They've got Jesus, you know, they understand Jesus in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, because that's all they hear about in their church and da-da-da-da. So here comes a guy or a lady or whatever, come along and wants to talk to their friends and family about Paul, who teaches the risen Savior stuff, now just to the Gentiles. Well, you would think that makes sense, but these people have also heard, well, yeah, didn't you know that Jesus, when he died and rose again, he came back and he came to America? Do you know that? Oh, there you get the Mormon crowd, and the people buy into that thing. And then you got the crowd out there that says, listen, if you don't turn to God, who they call Allah, then we will kill you. You know, so people are tired of hearing this talk. It's just talk. It's religious talk everywhere. You know, our guys get out there and they preach about these people that are sinning, and really, when you preach about their sinnings, you are indirectly telling those people, you need to have Jesus like I do, because, see, I've stopped sinning. I may be a little overweight. I may have a little, I must be, have, must have, might have an anger problem. I'm rude and crude and yelling, and you know, that's okay. But, you know, at least I'm not sinning anymore, and that's what you need to have. You need to stop sinning like I have stopped sinning because I asked Jesus to be my Savior, and I became born again, and all you got is the Antichrist. You're just waiting for that Antichrist to come. Another sermon, bunny trail. Does anybody go out on the street and talk with them? Talk to them about the goodness of God. That's a positive message. Talk to them about the risen Savior. Talk to them about Paul, the dispensation of the grace of God. Get a discussion going, not just a prideful, fancy show of your voice, you know, and what you claim to know about scriptures and da-da-da-da. So that's soul-winning stuff. Here's another one, number five here. Paul's witness is like our show and tell when we were in elementary school. You remember those days we would bring something to school and show them what we had? It's one thing to tell your friends, I got this new truck, da-da-da-da, you know, I got this new doll or this new toy or this new phone or whatever. No, you got to bring it to school and you got to show them how it works and they got to see you work with this thing. Well, 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. You've heard me talk about this a number of times. There's our verses on how to be a witness to somebody. We are to be a witness, not just talk like one. We are to be an ensample, not an example, an ensample. They hear it from us. Now, let's read that thing slowly. I've got it in the notes, and it's underlined the points we're going to just chat a little bit on here. But you read this thing slowly, you'll see what's all in here. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 6 through 10, starting with 6. And ye became followers of us. Okay, so we're following Paul and his buddies. And of the Lord. So who do you follow? Well, I follow Jesus Christ, the risen Savior. And I also follow Paul. He's my apostle. He's my minister. He's my preacher. He's my pastor, kind of a thing, you know. Okay, so then it says, having received the word in much affliction. Wouldn't it be better if we could say, we have received the word and we're muchly blessed? Well, we are spiritually. Ephesians talks about that, spiritual blessings. But we received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. So right away, that's talking about we are following Paul. We are following the Lord. What we have heard, we've received in affliction. We know that's going to come, but we don't let it get us down. We all talk about the loneliness, you know, and the frustration. And I do. When I talked to a couple of you on the phone yesterday, boy, I could have talked forever. It was so enjoyable to just talk about this stuff and hear you talk about how much you've learned and how much you've grown from the website and from your own personal Bible reading. Boy, I'll tell you what a thrill that is to hear stuff like that. I get some of you folks writing to me in the emails about how much this has been good for you and how much you get out of your Bible now. You know what? It still comes in affliction, doesn't it? It is still coming. We are still receiving the word in much affliction. But yet he tags onto there with joy of the Holy Ghost. Not our joy, it's his joy, fruit of the Spirit kind of thing. But we have that joy in us. Not happiness, that's the world's way. That's the modern Christian, happy with what they're doing, happy with what they've got. We are joyful because of what we are now. Okay, so it keeps going. So that ye were ensamples to all that believe. Now notice two things here. One is ensample. Are you an ensample to somebody else? Not an example to imitate, but you are following Paul, you're following Christ, and they see that. And then he says, to all that believe. See, now we're talking about trying to talk to people here about death and dying to people who don't even believe. We'll come back to that one in a minute. For from you sounded out the word of the Lord. Okay, so you sounded it out, and you want to tell people, and that's fine. Not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place, your faith, so we have our own faith still, to Godward. Now, we have the faith of Jesus Christ. That's in us. We can't lose it. Jesus cannot leave us. He talks about that, you know. So we've got that, and that's what we live on day to day. But we still have our own faith. So our faith is every place, your faith to Godward. We come and go. We're like a spiritual yo-yo, aren't we? Our faith grows and fades, grows and fades. Well, how does faith come? By hearing the word. So the more we get out of our Bible, the more we get away from our Bible, the more our faith is going to kind of fizzle out. But if you keep your faith going, keep the faith, baby, 1960s, you know, place your faith to Godward is spread abroad. They see, what do they see? Well, he tells us what they're going to see. He says here, so that we need not to speak anything, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. People will see, they will not only hear about rightly dividing, they will not only hear about the risen Savior, they'll not only hear about Paul, but they'll see it in you. Now, unfortunately, because most people nowadays, Romans 11:22, they don't want to see that, and it angers them, the goodness of God, they don't want to see that sort of a thing. That is still supposed to be our witness. We're supposed to show them that we believe what we believe. And they're going to get angry. You know, that's just the way it's going to be. You're not going to make them happy by talking about their stuff. See, when they look at us and we say that we're a Christian, to them, that means we should be walking according to the Gospels, the Beatitudes, and all they talk about is the love of God, that kind of a thing. Again, that's going to come out in the shackles of love. But I can't wait to do that one. So they don't even know what you're talking about. You know, so they have to see something here. And they're going to see that we still mess up. They don't think they mess up, and if they do, they confess it. That's where they're coming from. But we have to have our joy in this affliction and not let these things get to us. And I'm not talking about being that sugar-coated, sweet-loving, smiling, Christian-y person. That just makes me sick. Every year at the fair booth, we had this lady. I called her the butterfly lady. She'd come over. She finally quit coming over because I just called her. Here comes the butterfly lady. She loves everybody and just kind of flits around and does, oh, gosh, did I hate that. And that's not what Paul's talking about here at all. But anyway, so he says here, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you. See, Paul and that King James Bible has entered into your life. Well, how do you, because it says, and how ye turn to God from idols to serve the living and true God. You're going to do that by looking at Paul's manner of life, not the Beatitudes, not Gospels, not Mark, not John. I mean, that's not where you get this stuff. You're going to serve the living and true God by reading what the living and true Savior and God said to us through Paul. So it's hard for me to just tell you what you're going to do. You just got to read Paul's books. You got to read Timothy, Titus, Thessalonians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Romans. Boy, what a guts and meat chapter there. And Corinthians, but you have to read that rightly divided. I probably should do another updated sermon on that one. I have to be careful with Corinthians. Titus, I think I might have said Titus. I don't know what I left out of there. But that's where you find out how to serve the living and true God. And Paul even says in Romans chapter 12, that's the reasonable service for what he has made us to be. You would think that we could at least sacrifice our bodies a little bit. That's what he says, Romans chapter 12. But anyway, you learn how to serve the living and true God by learning about Paul. That's all. And that way, when people see that, they see that the living Savior is in you. Paul has even entered into your life. You know, not Paul's son, but Paul. And then it says, and to wait for his son from heaven. See, now what I got, this is a bunny trail. You've heard me say this before. We tend to find ourselves not waiting for his son from heaven. We are waiting for us to get out of here. And Paul says there's that, let's jump into that thing. That's a bunny trail. See if I can do this by memory, which is dangerous nowadays. It's in Timothy, Titus, or whatever in there. I'm sure it's in 2 Timothy towards the end, chapter 4, verse 8. He says, I have fought a good fight, in verse 7. I have finished my course, and I have kept the faith. He says, henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Bunny trail and a bunny trail. That's the only crown that we're dealing with. Those other crowns that all these pastors talk about, that's gospel stuff, that's tribulation stuff. We get the crown of righteousness if, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me, that's Paul, at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that also that love his appearing. So we are to be waiting for his son from heaven. We're not to be waiting to get out of here. There's some, you know, that's the, anyway, here's a little bunny trail for you. And then he says, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. That's there's your witnessing set of verses right there. Now, Paul does talk about salvation. He does. He talks about salvation in a number of places. But he doesn't go out of his way to go after those lost people. He's mostly talking to the brethren. That's us. To those that believe. He's got his words towards the lost. You've got Romans 10, 9 and 10. You've got Ephesians chapter 1, 12, 13 and 14. There's stuff in there for the lost person to see. But soul winning is not Paul's emphasis. Paul's emphasis is on our, the believers, us, following the risen Savior in our manner of life, after which our works will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ, not our scholarship, not our soul-winning numbers, not our visitation record, not our ministry that we have developed, not the internet kingdom that we build, people want to do out there, not that kind of stuff, but our daily walk, our manner of life based on Paul's gospel. What is that? Well, Romans 2:16. I know this is nothing new for most of you, but it is for some. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel, we will not be judged by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We will not be judged by Hebrews, James, 1st, 2nd Peter, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, Jude. That's not our direction. That's not our manual. Paul's stuff is. So yeah, our works will still have to be judged, and I think most of you realize that most of us are just going to have a massive fire, and maybe something might come out of there. That's just the way it is in these latter times. We all just have to keep our job. We just have to. We can't, you know. We don't want to see our family just flake out on us and leave us and get angry and been there doing that. But there's ways to make things better. And it isn't getting on a corner and just mouthing off and preaching to people, trying to win their soul. Okay. Ask yourself this. Will people want what I say if I don't show it myself? And that goes back again to Romans chapter 11, where it says here, let's just pull this up real quick like here. Romans chapter 11, he says, but rather through their fall, salvation has come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. So do they want what they see in you? You know, in spite of all the challenges that you and I have, and we have them, I know what some of the things you folks are going through. I always whine to you about stuff, so you know what I'm fighting and going through here. But what the riches of understanding have shown us about the past, present, and the future, you would think we would be the ones walking with that peace that passeth all understanding. Not that butterfly, God loves everybody, I love you thing, you know. What did that Schuller guy used to say? Smile, God loves you and so do I. That's not what the scriptures say. God loved them, gave his Savior to them, rejected. They don't have God's love. But the Bibles have to change. That's a bunny trail here. The Bibles have to change John 3:16, for God so loves the world. And that's not true. He gave his Son. It's there, his only begotten Son. He offered himself, actually. And when they rejected him, they don't have God's love. They reject the word of God. They don't have his love. It's just that simple. And the world is messed up. So anyway, let's see. Let's wrap this thing up here. You would think we'd be the ones with all the peace that passeth all understanding. Paul tells us how that can come about. That's in Philippians, by the way, chapter 4. We would be the ones with the joy in not having something. We would be the ones with joy in spite of all that's going on. But those folks are happy because of what they have. They are happy with what they do, and they don't realize that happiness and joy are two different things. I'm not sure many of us do either at times here, but anyway, more often than not these days, it is all they out there, this modern Christian, that lives like God loves them and doesn't care what they do, because that's their whole premise. They know God loves them, and they can just live any way they want. They can change their sex. They can change their family. They can change everything and this, that. They can do what they want, drink what they want, go where they want, see what they want, and God loves them anyway. That's the devil's imitation of the goodness of God about the dispensation of grace. They would have to say they have the dispensation of God's love, and that's not true. Dispensation of God's grace. They will be held accountable in due time. They just don't realize right now that God, his grace, is allowing them to do what they're doing, but they will be accountable to that stuff. They will die in their sins. Anyway, that day is coming. So, anyway, well, let's get back to the subject here of death and dying, eternal life, and the deceiving and being deceived. But let's just stop here on this one, and we'll get into part three. We're getting closer to the subject that actually got me started on this thing, and that's the death and dying of somebody that you're around, and how deceived they are, and what's the truth regarding that sort of a thing. And it's coming. We're getting to that. I did attend that funeral the other day. I just couldn't stay at it. I had to leave. I couldn't put up with it. I never went all the way in anyway. Let me make sure that the people that needed to see me there saw me there, and then that was bad enough, and I just took off. That just gets me stirred. You know, getting yourself right with God is what they say. How do you do that? What is it that you think you're doing to get? What can you do to get right with God when Paul says in Romans chapter 3, what have we got here? 3:23, I think it is, right? 3:23. For all have sinned to come short of the glory of God. So how come all of a sudden you think you can get it together with God? You couldn't get together with God. He's the one that's got to make you different. And you can't do that. But that's what's coming up. We'll yak about that in part, what's coming up here, part three, I guess. So there you are. We'll see you at the next one.